Welcome to Have You Heard, where we talk about issues at the intersection of agriculture and engineering. Let's get started. Here are your hosts, Morgan Hayes and Josh Jackson.
Welcome. This is the Have You Heard podcast. This is episode 40. We are back. That's how we're going to title this one. I am back from maternity leave. That gives Josh free range to talk about anything he wants today, as long as it regards what happened in October, end of September. We're going to do a couple of recaps just because lots been happening on the farm this fall. And we'll start out with an October update today. But before we talk a little bit about October, just what's generally been happening on your farm here? Because it's the beginning of January. It's been a little bit cold and then a little bit wet.
Well, you know, we built a new hoop structure. That's kind of one of the things we did here of late. But, you know, just generally trying to keep things going. So we had that cold, feeding out a lot of hay right now. So I have the big cow group. They're getting at least two bales of hay, or consuming at least two bales of hay a day. And then I have another in my spring herd. We're going through about a bale and a half a day.
Okay. And those are the bigger bales, 5x6 bales.
Yep, bigger 5x6 bales.
Yeah. So that's a pretty good amount of hay you're putting out a day. And that doesn't surprise me. Our cattle are also eating heavily and regularly. We had to reevaluate how we're feeding our alpaca because they were also going through more hay than was expected. So,
really?
Yeah, they were wasting it, though. It was with the cold snap and then also a little bit of movement on our bottle calves. We'll eventually get through all of November and why animals have been moving around. But we had to reevaluate our feeding strategy there. But everything is working out right now. So
okay.
We've got animals, a lot of animals getting a lot of hay. That's sort of our big push right now. Aside from that, we're just knocking out some projects, smaller projects, repair work on equipment. We are finishing up fine-tuning things on like fence lines. So we had some new fence lines go in,
yep.
One this summer and then one this fall. And we're just running our electric strand on the top right now. So we're working on some things like that. We hung some gates this week, just typical, you know, little tasks just to make sure that projects actually get off the book and we aren't sitting here with them 99% done and not quite finished.
Huh. Yeah, that happens a lot.
Sometimes. It happens awful lot. So that's sort of where we're at right now. But just so everyone knows, yeah, I'm healthy. I had a healthy baby end of September. Ironically, the baby has the same birthday as its great-grandmother, okay. WD's grandmother. So she called it. She told us from the beginning it was going to be born on her birthday and a girl, and she was right on both counts. My husband will say he was jinxed because it was very creepy that she knew all of that from the beginning of the pregnancy, but she did.
She did, yeah.
So
tell her next time I need some numbers. I just need six numbers.
Six numbers on a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Otherwise, six numbers are not very useful. Oh,
yeah.
So.
Lottery ticket, yeah.
Yeah.
Lottery ticket.
Well, I mean, anything that would help me buy a farm would be okay at this point, so... so that's what we're looking for, is some numbers, lucky okay. numbers, if anyone has any suggestions for us. Let's do a little bit of a recap of what happened in October, because October was a fairly busy month on my farm, and I'm sure was fairly busy on yours as well. I guess the first thing, last episode, we were talking about where we were in the middle of calving, and we were both doing pretty well when we recorded that last episode.
I think for the season, we lost one calf out of about 40, 45 or so.
Yeah, so. We also lost one calf. So, but I mean, that is, I think, probably typical that you would lose one here and there.
There's been years we've, you know, had a perfect record for the fall, but, you know, you just have some years you don't.
Yeah. We had one set of twins as well.
Okay.
And we had one calf that ended up as a bottle calf as a result of the twins. Aside from that, I guess that means technically we have the same number of calves as we had cows that did calve, but the calves in the field are still one short because that bottle calf is back at the house that we're feeding, almost ready to wean it off of milk this week or so.
Okay. Won't be too bad.
No, it's doing good. It's growing like a champ. So.
And I think, you know, we lost the one calf. We did have to pull a couple this year.
Did
so we
you?
Probably pulled two of them, but they're both out of heifers. And so I don't know what happened there. We have EPDs, use low birth weight bulls, but still occasionally you get those bigger calves coming out of there. And so we did have to pull two out of the heifers.
Okay. We pulled one of the twins. The second twin was backwards. I think the cow would have had it without any problem. But when you see back legs come out and not front legs and a head, and you can grab them, you grab them. So yeah. That's what we did. She would actually literally in the field just grabbed them and pulled, and it just
popped right out.
So she wasn't actually struggling. We just intervened for our own comfort. We also pulled one calf that probably would have come on its own, but was larger. She was working to have it, so that might or might not have been the right decision, but it was the right decision. The calf is fine, and the cow is fine. So you always wonder when you intervene if it was necessary, but in neither case was it absolutely necessary, but in neither case do I feel bad about doing it.
On the one, I'd say it almost was necessary because the heifer, you know, it was a little bigger bull, and so I felt better having pulled it.
Yeah.
I felt better because she was taking a little bit, and we were like, it's close to time.
Yep.
And so we actually thought we'd lost it, and we pulled it out. I was like, well, it's probably dead. Then finally got up, you know, it was shaking around. So I was like, I figured it was dead.
Yeah.
So we were surprised. And so sometimes we just try to time it out, but others were like, it's a heifer. So she might have been struggling longer than we think.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always hard to tell with heifers where they're at. And in typical fashion, my calving season, everything came very consistently. The last one came, and then 3 weeks later, the final calf came. So I don't know how your calving seasons work, but we tend to have a pretty good early calving window where in the first, you know, the first 20 some days or so, the first cycle, we get a good percentage. But in the first 30 days, which is about a cycle and a half or thereabouts, we usually are like at 80%, and we were this time as well.
Okay.
And then we had one that just held out to the very last moment in time. So
yeah, we had three that held out. I was like, well, maybe we don't keep those three.
You know, it's hard to tell because sometimes they rebreed back fine and they come back in early enough to make it back into the cycle, but other times they really don't. So
that's, yeah, it is kind of catch 22 in that case. But I'd rather have that short calving interval for my sake. Like the 60 day window is really what I'm striving for.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely hold that 60 day window pretty firm. In fact, our bull is in right now, but we're looking at what day exactly he comes out. So
I think about the 20th or so, or.
Well, ours go in typically on the 15th. So the 15th is when they should come out. My husband is traveling the 16th, 17th. So we will probably allow them the extra 2 days just so I don't have to feed bulls separate from cows while he's out of town.
Right.
Hopefully that doesn't mean we have late calves out of those animals. If they really do come that late, then likely they won't rebreed in our cycle next time. But
yeah,
we'll see. That's where our plan is. So,
hay supply is still good, I mean.
Yeah, our hay supply is good. We were aggressive in purchasing first cut hay this year. We filled all of our barns early.
Okay.
And so we sit strong on hay. Hay sales have been high. They were slow, though, in October. We weren't sure what was going to happen. October, November. I'll say that when we got a little bit of snow in October, middle of October, we had a snowstorm. I thought, well, this could be an interesting winter.
Yeah.
But it did settle back out to some more normal weather for a few weeks there. So I don't know how that actually is going to play into the long term. But the snow then actually did cause us to put out hay, even animals that had been out grazing. It was enough snow to knock back grass in a couple fields. What about you? Did you have any grazing going on in October?
So we actually did have some grazing. So our one field, or the field I manage mainly behind my house, it was, well, about 17 acres. I've actually did the fall fertilizing in August right after rainstorm. I was like, well, then it got dry on us. I thought it wouldn't do anything, but actually stockpiled fairly well. I was surprised. And so I we weaned in October, and we put those calves out there.
Okay.
And so they've done, I'd say, fairly well. I actually didn't take them off of that field because I have it broken into three little paddocks or four. I didn't take them off until we had that ice, or much all the snow that came here in January.
Okay.
Right. Well, I guess around Christmas.
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 Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah, you got a lot of grazing out of it then. We weaned in October as well, but we wean into the barn as we've discussed before. So that was our big project, was getting the barn ready and then weaning calves. That was our main goal in October.
Okay.
And our barn was a pretty big project. We had some wind damage over the summer, spring and summer. We've had a couple pretty big windstorms. And just a couple pieces of metal here and there. And then once a piece of metal comes off or a corner wrap comes off, then more metal pulls back. So what we ended up doing was we reset some posts where there was some deterioration at ground level, put them onto a stub, retied them in with some, not rebar, but we reattached them so that they are actually connected
okay.
to the stub. They're not just sitting on a stub. And then on top of that, we put new metal up on the windward, the south face of the building. But at ground level, to try and protect those posts and to make scraping a little bit easier, we used some mining conveyor belt that we wrapped around the bottom, both the inside and the outside of the building, because we can actually scrape our concrete outside area as well as what were old freestall. Okay. Pens. So all of that area is scrapable, but just to keep that manure from working in on the metal and the posts.
So what's the conveyor belt? Pretty easy to find?
It's not always easy to find. It's something when we saw it listed, someone had it for sale. We went ahead and purchased a good amount of it a couple years ago, anticipating this project and also anticipating possibly using it in a feed bunk at some point.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's a pretty wearable material. And these were long runs, so like 50 foot by the conveyor belt was only probably 18 inch. It's a little more than 12, maybe 14 or 18 inch tall. So I'm not light rolls of no. conveyor belt, quite heavy, but allowing us to run most of the length of the barn with one piece
strip.
And not have to break it up.
Hmm. So. Okay.
So yeah, protecting the structure, hopefully allowing it to last a little longer.
I guess you put some lag bolts in it to keep it up there.
Or? Yes.
Okay.
Yep. It's attached pretty well.
All right.
It's an interesting structure. Obviously, we used some 2x6s inside of it to give it some structure some to rigidity. Hold it there between the posts. But I think it's going to work out well. I'm pretty excited about that.
All right. How often do you guys scrape that barn?
We scrape that barn at least once a week, sometimes more. Depends. Like where we had heavy rain in the last couple weeks, we've scraped a couple times. If we bed the barn, we don't have to scrape as much. But if we know we have like heavy rain like this coming, we might not add bedding until after the rain just to save ourselves the hassle. And this year, actually, we don't have. Typically, what we have is we end up with, I don't know, a half dozen or a dozen rolls that we are really uncomfortable feeding to anything, and we'll use them as bedding in the barn. This year, we haven't really had a lot of bales that have popped up that we're uncomfortable feeding because we think they're too dusty or too mature of Johnson grass. Because we did almost all first cutting, we just don't have those types of bales this year. So we'll have to figure out what we're going to bed with. If we don't bed, it's not a huge problem. There's only our calves in the barn, so between 30 and 40 calves.
Not that bad.
And this barn would comfortably hold, I would say, 60 or maybe even a few more calves than that of space. So we're not overstocked by any stretch. So if we don't bed, it's not usually a huge problem. It stays fairly dry as long as we keep scraping manure off of the feed alley areas and out by the hay feeding structure.
Okay. Can you guys do anything else? Are you working on equipment as well?
Yeah, a little bit of work on equipment. Got the final bush hogging done, got that put up. We also used our seeder. We actually put out some winter wheat in one field. You had some rain in August, but we actually didn't get that rain where we were. We were still pretty dry until sometime in September. We got a few rains in September, and we finally felt comfortable putting it out in October. We just broadcast it. We know that we're taking a risk on it. We chose fairly cheap seed. But if we get any coverage at all, it'll be just protection against... It's on one of our summer pastures where we know that we end up with weed pressure in the spring. And we just took a chance and hope that we got enough rain to get it going so that we get a little bit of coverage come spring.
How come you guys didn't go with the ryegrass?
Cost. And risk. If we had had a good, healthy rainfall all through the spring and into the fall, and we had been able to get it out in September, we probably would have put rye down.
Without that rain, you know, that drought, the, pretty much the drought
we with had. The drought we were in, on top of the fact that we knew this was going to be a late seeding, we just said wheat was
probably
the least cost to put out. And if it doesn't perform, it's not the end of the world.
Okay.
If it does, it will help with this rain that we're getting now, hopefully keeping the ground intact everywhere and not...
A little bit of crop cover.
A little bit of cover. Yeah, just a little bit of protection, so... And that's sort of how October went for us, so I don't know.
We did. We were still working on some hay equipment.
Were you?
This year was a little different. We just had, you know, we had to have people... We hired somebody to help us bush hog because we were just behind the eight ball. Just on equipment, we had equipment challenges. So at some point, I don't know if I mentioned this, our forward tractor, it the center rim broke. So the rim broke, and so we couldn't get a new rim that actually worked there for a while.
Supply chain issue.
And then we're just having some other just little issues across the farms. We're repairing hay equipment. We had some bushings and other things we had to replace on certain equipment, and so it just took little things that just take a lot of time.
Absolutely. Yeah, all of these repairs take a while. That's sort of why if you're really thinking about it and you start ordering stuff in the summer, you can probably work on them in the winter. So
yeah, I wish we'd thought ahead. And some of it, you know, you just it's actually take stuff apart, you notice, well, this gear is shocked or this bearing's gone. So it's little things, you know, slowed us down. We get stuff actually taken apart. So we've taken apart one piece of machinery, or one hay conditioner, our New Holland. We've taken that apart two or three times this year.
Oh.
Yeah. And so
not ideal.
Our other cutter bar we've taken apart on our chrome. We've taken apart two of the cutter bars.
You're a busy guy this year.
So a lot of time sink. So it's just, you know, working on equipment, and even still through the fall, just working on equipment, getting everything. It's like, all right, let's get it to where it's going to be functional for this next year.
Yep, that makes sense.
And resolve. And so a lot of it, one of the cutter bars, it was really more preventative maintenance.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what you want to do is do it now and not have to do it in the summer.
Yep.
When you want to be cutting. So.
And have something go wrong on you.
Yep. I think that's a pretty good recap of our Octobers. I think we'll come back and do November in another update, just because we had a lot more things happening in November, and lots of good big projects to work on. So we'll cover those in another episode. Anything that you're planning to do in the next week here on the farm?
Probably, you know, we did put up some fence, so probably just going around, patching some holes, and then I think moving some goats around. We just started kidding this past Thursday.
Okay.
So probably keeping an eye on them.
Yep, that makes sense. Yeah, we're getting ready. I have to make a overnight trip for a research project up to Ohio. So we're just planning out how to feed both children and animals to make that work. So traveling's always tricky in the wintertime.
Yes.
And just trying to coordinate schedules so that all that is as easy as possible.
Okay.
Also, for both of us, and particularly for me, the classes start next week. So just making sure... that we get everything lined up before we start teaching again.
That additional responsibility. Yep.
Yeah, just another thing to add onto the plate. And aside from that, I think generally feeding it's the biggest task for the whole winter.
Yeah.
So that'll be our highest priority, is getting animals fed everywhere.
We put out, you know, we had that winter event. We put out a bunch of additional hay. So hay that we did have some place where we cut where it's like, it's not the best section of the field. It got a little wet. We did put out... Several of those bales.
Did you?
Went out. And so they were able to tear them up and line them. I was like, the bales, the ones I don't really care about those bales, per se.
Ones that you didn't think had high feeding value.
Didn't have high feeding value with the diesel prices this summer. I was concerned, but then I was glad we had them for when we had this this cold snap.
Yeah, now that it's wet, they can still work them into the ground a little bit, have a little time to break down before you want to go back in that field again in the spring.
Yep.
There you go.
All right. I think that's pretty good for it.
Yeah, I think that's a good first episode back. We'll come back next time, talk about November happenings. November, probably November, early December, because through Christmas-ish.
Yeah.
And then we'll start back with some topical episodes here later in the month. Maybe we'll see if we can get Matt Dixon in at the end of the month. I want to know what the spring looks like before we get too far into February. It's got to come soon, right?
Yeah, it's got to come soon. And, you know, I'm good with winter. I'm good with being done. But
you're good with being done at this point?
At this point, but we'll see.
Well, the grass thinks so.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
It is green outside right now. Almost all of our pastures have greened up this week, which is both amazing and freaky at the same time. So I don't know if anyone else is experiencing that, but it's definitely what it looks to be right now. So we'll see you guys next week with another new episode.
Take care.
Have You Heard is a production of the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, along with the Department of Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering. Discover what's wildly possible at ca.uky.edu.